I'll try to answer the one about Hamas's motivation. And the way I see it, there were at least four factors that affected that. One was internal Hamas dynamics, where there are members of Hamas who did not want the ceasefire, who did not want Hamas to mainstream play politics, and who actually pushed for the end of the ceasefire and the resumption of violence, mainly in the military wing, but not only in the military wing of Hamas. So there was organizational pressure. There was a political domestic pressure, I think Amjad alluded to, which is basically Hamas was starting, its popularity was starting to wane. They felt that they were starting to be start being cast in the same light as the PA. They're governing, they have only their interests in mind, they're only giving their jobs to their guys, and they wanted, and they were losing this kind of martyrs versus collaborators debate, and they wanted to go back to the martyrs category. There's a foreign policy side to it as well, particularly vis-a-vis Egypt. There was a sense that Egypt was squeezing Hamas, and there was a sense that Hamas wants to pressure Egypt into making concessions, both in terms of the national unity talks, but also in terms of opening up the border crossings. But ultimately, there was a sense that the ceasefire was not politically benefiting Hamas, and there was a need to renegotiate the terms of the ceasefire. And unfortunately, this is standard practice in the region. When you want to renegotiate the terms of anything, you start a mini crisis. You start a crisis of sorts and improve your negotiating positions, or at least you reshuffle the cards. But to the question, but to the first question, the issue of the whole hearts and minds, and the issue of the approach to Gaza and the approach to people of Gaza, I think the big, one of the biggest mistakes, well, one of many big mistakes that were done in the last few years, was the issue of the siege on Gaza. The siege failed in two ways. On the one hand, it created identification between the public and Hamas. There's a sense that, you know, it's not Hamas that's being punished. It's us, your average person, who's being punished. And if you're in that kind of situation, it's hard to blame your own government. You always blame the outsider influence. And so as long as that continues, and as long as that will continue, it's hard to see Hamas's popularity. It might wane a little bit, but at the end of the day, there is a sense that Hamas is a victim along with the rest of the public. So that doesn't work, but it's also based on a very fundamental misunderstanding, I think, of Palestinian psyche and Palestinian political dynamics. There's a sense that it's all about the economy. Create a good economy in the West Bank and a bad economy in Gaza, people realize that things are bad and they will act in a rational self-interest kind of classical model, and they will be against Hamas. That's not the way it works. The two intifadas, the first intifada and the second intifada, were started at the height of economic booms in Palestine. There's a sense that if you only focus on the economy, if you're actually only trying to improve the economy and you forget the other aspects, you're selling out. You're giving up the national objective, the national narrative, for the sake of some money and some development assistance. Unless the PA is capable of showing, unless we can show that there is a political benefit from pursuing quote-unquote moderation, pursuing pro-Western, pro-peace, pro-negotiation, pro-diplomacy positions. Unless we can show that, the PA and those who are advocating these positions will continue to be vulnerable to accusations of being sellouts. They have to show, in addition to economic progress, they have to show diplomatic progress. Unless that happens, maybe by a few years or a few months of stability, but ultimately we're not going to a conflict-ending scenario. So on the one hand, if I'm going to leave with two recommendations, one is lift the siege on Gaza. It has to be lifted, and there has to be differentiation between the Gaza civilians on the one hand and the Hamas government on the other. The other one, the other recommendation would be immediately, quickly, within the first few months, give a political deliverable to Abbas so he can have some political justification in pushing his agenda.
Thank you. And Andrew, wrap it up.
I'm not going to speak about the flaws in the policies that have been pursued in the past couple of years, because others have briefly alluded to them. And I'm going to try to frame my remarks in a slightly deeper, longer historical context, as I've followed this issue for much of my adult life. And I know and love both peoples, and don't hold any brief for one of them, though. Let's look at the failures of repeated attempts by Israel to create leaderships among its neighbors more to its liking, whether it be in Lebanon or among the Palestinians. Repeatedly, Israel has interfered with the leaderships in those countries to try to change the political dispositions to one that was more amenable to Israel's goals. And unfortunately, that has usually had negative consequences for Israel and for peace in the region by that process of constant interference in order to be able to find one that you like better or who is one who is more moderate in the current terminology. And that brings me to the second point, the destructive effects, both at a political level in terms of policy formulation and discourse, and on a human and social level, of the Manichaean policies of the Bush administration, this black and white, good against evil, bad guys and good guys, our guys and their guys, which has been so negative and created the enemies that they wanted to avoid, which has built up the enemies, which has demonized an entire people. We don't have time to get into the origins of Hamas or who really supports Hamas or what is Hamas, but I think it's really unhelpful for an educated debate to create an analogy, or excuse me, to suggest a synergy between Hamas and Gaza, to suggest that all Gazans support Hamas or that Gazans all hate Israel. That's exactly wrong. We know Gaza very well. I was there in November myself. I've lived there for more than 3 years. I know the Gazan people, and most of them are civilized, dignified people, entrepreneurial, humorous people, innovative, inventive people who want to live with Israel, who want to live alongside it, who want to work with Israel, who know that their future lies there and does not lie with Egypt. And by contrast, they really don't want anything to do with Egyptians. They have very bad memories of the Egyptian period of rule over Egypt. And when they broke down the wall and they went into Raqqa on the other side, they said, God, is this how awful it is? We don't want anything to do with this place. We came straight back again, back into Gaza, because conditions were not better inside Gaza, despite the siege, than they were on the other side. And they really don't see any long-term future for themselves over there. Israel has no way of being able to get around the fact that the Gazans are not going anywhere else. Their future has to lie together with Israel and with the West Bank, and a way has to be found to be able to bring them back again. As far as Hamas's views are concerned, I think it's wrong to treat Hamas as a uniform body. Hamas has many different elements to it. It has many different factions. Unfortunately, the policies pursued towards them treated them all equally in the last 3 years and sought to strengthen, in the end, strengthen the radical wings and marginalize the more moderate ones, or more pragmatic would be a word that I would prefer, those who are willing to engage with the West, with Israel. And it's had the worst of consequences because it's ended up deepening the intra-Palestinian family dispute.
Thank you. I want to thank our panelists. It was really very thought-provoking and interesting and challenging. As always, we try and bring you varying views within a reasonable spectrum. They're not all speaking on behalf of Americans for Peace Now. You can find, again, our policy positions on our website, peacenow.org. And you will be able, if you want to replay parts of this or encourage others to do so, I'm sure Ori is going to be putting this bits and pieces and so forth on our website. Thank you for coming. Thank you for staying.